I stupidly put the washing machine on, which is stupid because I had to get away from it now.
We've started recording. Welcome to the Tin Biscuit Podcast. Today we've got returning guest, that is Cher. Welcome to come back on.
Char.
No, Char, there you go. You see, I can never pronounce names right.
That's
so, how you been doing and what you been up to?
Oh, you know, the usual, just you know, children, dogs, house, and trying to stay sane, really, which is quite hard, I think, with everything that's going on. I think it's the other people, isn't it, really? I had an experience yesterday. I do love my charity shops, and it seems to be the most militant place for hand sanitizer. So I had an experience yesterday, and I politely declined the hand sanitizer. They see me coming and they rush towards me. And there she is, the woman who will not put on hand sanitizers. And I politely declined again and went in. And then she began following me around the shop with a spray, just spraying it after me like I was some rat or bug. And quite unnerving. And I just thought, you know, this isn't on. And she said, well, I'm going to have to disinfect everything you touch. And I was just, right, I'm going to touch lots of things. And I just asked her, you know, can you please stop bullying me? But I understand that people have been worked into this level of fear that they're losing that ability to have common sense or how to treat people. People are still customers coming into your shop. People are stressed and they've got lots of things going on, and they don't need that treatment. So I did phone up the head office and I complained, because I think that's our duty to. And lots of people said, you should just pretend to put the hand sanitizer on. But no, I want to educate people and stand firm about why I'm not doing something, because otherwise that's still playing the system. You're still in the system. You're still, you know, pretending as part of the show. And it's very important that we make a stand against these things and that we believe in, because I've educated myself on hand sanitizer and I don't want it on my body. And
can you tell us a bit more about the reasons why about the hand sanitizer? Because like this is the first sort of thing I've heard about hand sanitizer being bad. I've heard about the masks, etc., and the gloves, are they serve no purpose, but not the hand sanitizer. So can you tell us a bit more about the hand sanitizer?
I haven't got my computer open with my research on it, but off the top of my head, I mean, look, we have a microbiome, and our microbiome is made up of, you know, bacteria, and our immune system is built by experience, and you're interfering with that, you're killing off that microbiome, which you need, and also it contains chemicals, so you're allowing your skin's your biggest organ, and that's going to be absorbed into your bloodstream, and those chemicals are cancer-causing, hormone disrupting, and endocrine system disrupting as well. So yeah, and that's all very simple research to find. It's all very easy to find, but they're everywhere, and it seems to be the hand sanitizer that is the, you know, it's their bit of control.
What did the head office say when you contacted them about the hand sanitizer issue? What response did you get from the shop when you said to him, please don't bully me into wearing hand sanitizer?
Well, she kind of just said, I'm not bullying you, but I just had to say it, because that is a form of, I mean, it's persecution. And what's scary is that, okay, it's just that, but what's the next level? What are people going to do next? You know, if they're not, do you know what I mean? This is how scary things in society begin, if you see where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
And it's stop here, then where does it end up? What are you doing to our people? Because they're not following the rules, which are dangerous, you know, and it's all about the order followers, isn't it? Past history, we know what order followers. Well, I was just following orders. But the head office were wonderful. They phoned me back this morning, and then I kind of said, well, you are from Age UK Concerned Charity Shop. And then I just said, and why are you not approaching the government about the dangers to health on isolating the elderly and things. But then, you know, I was very kind, and I said, I do get where she's coming from. She's fearful, and these people are scared. They've been made to feel scared. And I think that the media programming and the media have just done such a good job. It's such a big psyop that they've made people do this. And lose their common sense to the point that another human is following someone around spraying a chemical at them. So it's about thinking, and that's what I said to you. It would be really good if we could just actually, let's stop for a minute. Let's everyone just get back our common sense for a second. What are we doing? Let's have some common sense about everything that we're doing and how we're behaving to other people. And that's it, really. So, yeah, so that was just my day yesterday. And I went into the charity shop next door and had a big cry. And I said, I've had enough of this. And sometimes it's good to have a public cry. I've noticed that sometimes, actually, I think I'm just going to cry in public. And I wouldn't usually do it. But I think sometimes that just actually people around you thinking, oh, you know, yeah, this is not right. This is affecting people, what they're doing. It's unkind. It's not nice.
Have you had any trouble with not wearing a mask at all? Have you had anybody come up to you and have a go at you about that?
I did on the first day, and I think I was in Lidl's. All these hot places I shop at, and living the dream, Lidl's and A Concern. And there's a lady poked me. She actually poked me on the shoulder. She poked me in the corner of my, you know, little. And I couldn't believe she'd poked me, like poked her finger at me. Yeah. And you're not wearing a mask. And I said, no. I said, they're about enslaving you. and they just looked at me funny. But it's just how, again, you're lacking common sense, and you're physically, it's not a massive assault, but it's a little assault, isn't it? And that's where things become. You've come up to me, approached me, and poked me. You know, I haven't been poked for ages. Do you know what I mean? It's like 2020, and I'm getting poked in Lidl's. For not wearing a mask. So that's about it. We travelled up to protest, a couple of the protests, and I've gone on public transport, tube, not been bothered whatsoever about wearing a mask. I went into hospital this week, didn't wear a mask, no problem.
Nothing was said to you there?
No, but my friend gave me this exemption badge to pin on, and I thought, oh, I'll just put that on, it'll just save the hassle. But I don't even having exemption badges, because again, that system, and I'm not playing your game. And if I'm not in the game, I don't need an exemption card either. So
yeah,
no, I'm not in that. I'm not part of it. So
what do you think to the government yesterday knocking over 5,000 deaths off the total because they've been exaggerated? Do you you think that's some sort of admittance to it not being as bad as they think it is?
I think they probably could knock a few more of 1,000 deaths off of it. I mean, I wouldn't trust any stats the government puts out ever. And, you know, anything they say is totally untrustworthy. And if they're knocking 5,000 off, well, you know, they're probably being economical with the 5,000, I think. And I think even the NHS website says 1,300 odd people have died from it. The rest have died with it. So it's...
yeah.
Word games, you know, it's and like they say, oh, we've got so many cases, but the cases, I mean, they've tested more people, but these cases aren't resulting in deaths or hospital admissions or any treatment, maybe.
Well, I was reading a article in the Sunday Times this Sunday gone saying how it's sort of like leveling off, and one of the professors was saying that we might have already reached herd immunity in like the UK. And like the reason we've got so many infection rates is because we're doing a lot more testing. But to me, what's interesting is if we've got a high infection rate, like lots of people have got this COVID-19, whatever it is, the death rates are plummeting. So really, is the infection rate going up and the deaths are not happening? And if that's the case, it's not as deadly as we were told it is, or we are immune to it and it was only the weak people that was getting targeted by it, or it just wasn't as bad, because it also said in the Times that more people have died from the flu and pneumonia.
Yeah, I mean,
within the last 3 to 4 weeks.
Again, you know, infections. I haven't seen anyone. I don't know anyone that's had it. I've asked, you know, my gardener, she knows half of our area. I said, do you know anyone that's had it? Well, bring me somebody that's had it then. Show me somebody. You know, it's funny as well, isn't it, how just the celebrities have stopped getting it now. It's almost like the celebrities have achieved herd immunity and your MPs, because to start with, they were just coming down with it like flies.
I think Antonio Banderas has been tested for it and is positive. And I think some football teams, is it a football team in Scotland?
Oh, I can't keep up. Exactly. You know, but, you know, maybe I should put the telly on again for it. I don't know. But, But funny enough, and I've got this real suspicion about Kate Garraway's husband. I'm like a bit of, you know, it's my little thing. I have these little like, ooh, there's something dodgy going on there. My spidey senses, like, he's been sick for months. And I've just been looking at her talking about him on YouTube. And I'm thinking, where is Derek Draper? What is he doing? Where is he? You know, he's been sick for the whole thing for months. And when I was, you know, that's just another sideline. I'm just...
Going back to the infection, I just thought if anything, like, the infection rates are going up and up and up, and it was a deadly virus, we should see the death rate shoot up, which is understandable, but we're not seeing that.
We were sold this virus as people are dropping down and dead in the street. Look at these people from this country. They're dropping down dead. They're wearing masks. They're walking along and they're just falling down and collapsing at this. Have we seen any of that?
No, because as I say, we've got a big infection rate, but like, we haven't got the deaths to tally with it.
We haven't, because I know that the hospitals have been quiet. We know that there are whistleblowers dying to speak up about what's been going on. The hospitals have been quiet. So the infection rate, the infection rates are based on tests that don't work. So the infection rate, even using the term infection rate, is null and void, because you're saying that we're using tests that don't work or have false positives, you know. So it's just a sham. I'm not buying it. I'm, you know, when they say the infection rate and the what rate, no, the hospitals are quiet. We don't know anyone that's had it or died. Yes, we've had lots of elderly deaths, but they were not going out to the care homes. They were not sending the ambulances out. They were not treating them, and they were putting them under DNR. So that all they have done is genocided or killed off the sickest people. And that's the first hanging fruit they're going to come for. And that's what they've done in my book. And the infection rate, I don't pay attention to it, because, you know, it's smoke and mirrors. Everything they're putting out is smoke and mirrors. And it's like, look at this, look at this. But they're distracting you from looking at what's really happening.
Yeah.
We have got the massive unemployment rate. Yeah, the economy is well and truly tanked. We're about to head into the biggest depression ever. And for every 1% rise in unemployment, we're going to have 36,000 deaths. So that's the next level of this program they have. And it's a very sinister program. And yeah, and we have a lot worse to come. Yeah, I believe.
In what sense do you think we've got a lot worse to come? What psych do you think their end game is, and how is this going to pan out, do you think, for the future? Say where do you think we'll be this time next year, and what sort of regulations will still be in place, if any at all, that we've got now, like sort of the mask thing?
I mean, how long have the Chinese been wearing masks? They've been wearing them for like, what, 20 years now? Is that what we're signing up to? Because once we lose that, we're just going to get more mask enforcement for now. And it will be the state where you can't leave your house without one, or have one on in your house, you know. But, I mean, you've probably seen that vicious attack on that young girl yesterday by the police in Australia for not wearing a mask.
I haven't seen that one yet. I have seen something about punch up in the mask on the like the underground. But going back to wearing a mask in your own house, I have read something about that, but I can't see how they could enforce that.
But I mean, just this is, like you said, where it's heading. You know, and I mean, I went to see my boss the other day, and she's in at work, and she's got a mask on, and she's on her own. I said, why are you wearing a mask? You're by yourself. And she said, but I'm training myself to wear one. And I just thought, oh my goodness.
Is that what she said?
Yeah.
That's quite scary.
I know, but she's such a lovely lady and she's such an order follower and everything is done to the book and she's the perfect employee. But also when it comes to situations like this, those people who are so set on following the rules they've been told to are also the most loveliest people, also the most dangerous people for us, if you see where I'm coming from. So, I mean, where this is going to end up in a year, I mean, you know, I think, recession, we know what that looks like, repossession. Bit of a bad line now.
Sorry, yeah, you just dropped out there.
So, you know, what comes with economic poverty, really? And they're going to take people, you know, to their knees and people will, you know, it's going to be a lot of desperate, you know, it's very hard to predict the future, isn't it? But yeah, we have to be prepared and we have to have alternate systems of helping each other out, really, and making sure we can look after the people. Because, I mean, beauty therapists, I've had a beauty therapist going hungry. They haven't been able to work. There's no food banks open because people aren't donating to food banks and they're not open, apparently, I've heard. I'm not sure if that's true. I haven't checked.
No, yeah, I haven't heard that one.
Yeah.
Sorry, go on.
Wherever this can end up in a year, I mean, you know, we can imagine. But yes, we're looking at what comes, the circumstances around economic, severe economic deprivation and job losses. Because there have been many job losses and they're just, you know, and that's by design, obviously.
What do you think to Russia and their vaccine they've got that's called Sputnik 5? And apparently even one of Putin's daughters has had it.
Oh, it's just, I mean, is this like the space race again? But I think amongst my beautiful friends in the sort of ex-vaccination world, we've just said, look, I'd rather take Putin's vaccine. You know. So we actually said that, but yeah, I mean, it's again, it's like, it's another curveball, isn't it? You know,
yeah,
it's yeah, okay. So I mean, we know vaccines aren't safe. He's coming out saying they are safe. Is he pulling is he just taking the Michael out of everybody in this race for the vaccine and just saying, well, we've got one? You know, I don't know. I really don't know, but I noted that yesterday and I thought, you know, that's going to cause some waves amongst the rest of the world, isn't it? Good old, yes. Putin. I quite like Putin. I don't know why.
I do quite like him. I saw a couple, I think it was last week. I was waiting for my friend outside the co-op and they was wearing gloves and a mask. And they came up and they like put hand sanitizer on the gloves. But before she put hand sanitizer on the gloves, she moved a mask with a glove, then did a hand sanitizer, then came out and pulled a mask down on, like, sort of under her chin. My problem with wearing gloves is, is that if you load your basket up, go and pay it at the checkout, you pull out your purse or your wallet, pay with your phone, your cards, you touch it with your gloves on and then you'll put your purse or like your wallet, your phone, whatever back in, you'll take your gloves off, but then when you get home you'll pull your purse and wallet out, so you're still touching it with like your bare hands. So it serves no purpose, gloves. And how they did it was ridiculous, because it's the first time I've seen someone actually sanitize the gloves before they came out of a shop, but then touch the face with the gloves.
Yeah.
Before they did it. And I just thought, it's just nonsense what they've just done there. Sorry, go on. You just dropped out there.
I mean, this is just the level of OCD we're seeing. And people had OCD before. I remember one. And I'm so not one of those. We have dogs, you know, the kids get, you know, if you come into the house and you're a child, your face will get licked by dogs. And we're just very kind of relaxed about that whole thing. But yes, wash your hands before you eat, et cetera, et cetera. But people before this had a massive level of OCD. And you could see it coming through, you know, on certain programs on telly. And you think, gosh, how are people so worried about germs and bacteria? Don't they realize that, you know, we're all made of that and that's what keeps us going? and we have good bacteria, et cetera, et cetera. And but people have just developed this level of OCD, and this whole thing has made it worse. They are just so scared of some germs. It's unreal. It's, you know, germs are like the number one enemy, and they're the perfect enemy, aren't they? Because you can't see them, but they're there in your head.
I saw
the perfect enemy to have to use against people, an invisible one.
Yeah, I saw two people the other day in a car with the masks on. Just like driving out. I mean, it's their choice in that, but I just think the government, how they've said we're going to take 5,000 deaths off, I think that's a bit of an admittance. And also, I also read another article where they think they've miscounted the tests as well. They've done too many tests, or like they've been counted twice.
I mean, going back to the tests, I mean, this is just racketeering. If you look at anything that they've purchased now, pandemics make a lot of money. People don't realize this. Because they were manufacturers of the PPE, they're manufacturers for the hand sanitizer, they're manufacturers for the tests. And not only do other tests, you're buying a test, then you're getting the test back, and you're carrying out the lab work, and you're charging for that. So
yeah,
they are making a lot of money from these tests. And Owen Paterson lobbies for Randox, who provides the tests. You know, one of our MPs, so he has a massive conflict of interest. And most of these contracts, you can look back, they're sent out, they're not tendered for, and the contracts are awarded on the back of, you know, mates rates and friends, and it's not accountability for it. So Randox had a $135 million contract for these tests, and they've recalled them for safety issues. Now, what are the safety issues around these tests? Because I've managed to procure some of the tests, and I want to get a lab to look at them. But I'm just thinking, what are the safety issues around them? Why would they need to recall them? So, and they've ordered 670,000 tests, more tests than needed. So, for example, a care home might need 10 tests a week. They come in a box of 50, so they get sent a box regularly. So they're oversending out the tests anyway, lots of people are declining them or don't want them. So, I mean, it's just, I mean, the testing thing, I mean, it's ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, people aren't sick, but we're testing them. We're testing non-sick people to see if they're sick with a test that doesn't work.
Yeah, going back to the mask issue, have you seen many people not wearing them, wearing like, you're from, or like, have you seen an uptake in people wearing them just normally in the street?
Just obviously since they've mandated them everywhere, people are wearing them, and it's sad because it's dehumanizing. You know, I miss looking at people's faces. You talk to people, don't you? And I'm just literally there going, sorry, I can't hear you because there's a screen and you're wearing a mask. You know what I mean? I'm making a point of it. Like, oh, I can't understand you, you know. Or I'll say to people, you know, it's dehumanizing. And you know, my friend's had a baby this year, and I'm thinking, that child's going to grow up seeing this. And that to me, it's not even about the safety issues. I think it's just, what world are we creating now for our children that these adults are wearing masks? And that's just, it's an instant fear thing, isn't it? Everyone is operating out of fear, either fear of not fitting in, which some people are doing. I'm just putting it on to for quiet life, which I hate. I think if you don't want to wear one, don't wear one. Get some donors.
What happens if it comes
on to protect them? They really genuinely think it's going to work, or they're just doing it because they're told to.
What happens if it comes to the job, saying like they don't agree with it, they don't wear a mask outside of the work environment, but because it's the job, they have to do it. Like, would you say in that situation to somebody?
Well, I am asking people, do you have to wear it? So some employees, I mean, I can't work out how they can make somebody who's exempt wear one. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure on that, you know, but I think, like anything, I think the employees of companies need to put their foot down and say no. But people are scared. They just want to. That people don't want to stand out. They don't want to be different. They want to just have an, I'll get my head down, put the mask on, but yada yada, you know. And but we know this is another, you know, compliance thing, isn't it? And
do you think? Do you think the mask thing will be still implemented within a year, or do you think there will, because it's reviewed every 6 months, isn't it? Do you think they'll say there's no need to wear masks now, it's up to you? Or do you think they'll go a step further and say you must wear a mask as soon as you leave your house until you get inside your house? Which way do you think it's going to turn? Because I know France started to do it.
Rights. They're taking our rights left and centre, aren't they? You know, they're taking our human rights away. Massively, you know, and I don't think they're just going to start giving them back to us. You can not do that now. It's a hostage situation, isn't it, for the vaccine? So it'll be like, well, when you all get vaccinated, you can take your masks off, maybe then you'll be safe, you know. And there's you know, Harvard, is it? No, Yale are doing a study right now on how to get people to take the vaccine. So it's really about manipulation and the tactics they're going to use to get people to take the vaccine. And there's a few sort of things that they're going to use.
What sort of things are the study? What sort of things are the research into?
The psychological aspect.
Sorry, you just dropped out again there.
The psychological aspect of it, and there's a list. And I was about to write them down, but they're going to say, well, you're not brave. If you don't take the vaccine, you're not brave. The people that take the vaccine are brave. You know, there's a whole list of things that they're going to sort of psychologically put out to the population and, you know, convince them of these things. You know, oh, you won't care. If you get the vaccine, you care about your loved ones and you care about the community. If you don't get the vaccine, you are uncaring. You don't care about your loved ones. So they're going to use these psychological, you know, the psychological beating up.
Well, that's what Matt Hancock did on his daily briefings, including the NHS, sort of making out if like something happened to the NHS. And like the NHS have already said that.
Same similar tactics, yeah.
They like said, we was nowhere near breaking capacity. We managed fine.
Mm.
But yet they built all these Nightingale hospitals dotted around the country.
Mm. That's another racketeering. Who was that contract from? You know, that was a few million contract there, wasn't it? Some Saudi Arabian company.
Yeah.
I'm sure if you traced it back, and I called it when they posted the pictures that those weren't real hospitals and that they would never be used. And people were just like, don't be so ridiculous to me. And it's like, it's turned out to be true, because anyone could have seen in those pictures that they had no washing facilities or sluices or basic, you know, like toilets nearby. It was a stage. It's a theatre.
You mentioned the vaccine. Do like you think it would be mandated that everyone's got to have it in the UK or like worldwide, or like do you think a certain percentage will have it, say 70% of the population, and then like the other 30 will already be herd immunity, or do you think we'll make everyone have it?
I think they are going to leave a human being unvaccinated. That is their mission. Everyone will have this vaccine by hook or by crook. Now they'll do it using psychological methods to start with. Then I think they'll like move on to the more forceful methods, but also they will withdraw. So as we've seen, I mean, Australia already have, you know, no jab, no play. Your child won't be able to go to school. You know, that's already in operation in Australia and lots of states in America. And you won't have these benefits if you don't vaccinate. And so it will be heavily coerced. And then, you know, there are talks of forcibly vaccinating. I mean, we're seeing massive amounts of force in Australia right now. And those people locked down in the tower blocks in Australia, what an easy situation that run in and vaccinate everyone and say to everyone, oh, right, well, that flat number 5 hasn't been vaccinated. None of you can leave your house now because of those people until they get. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They could take this. I mean, can we underestimate them?
I mean, like, surely there'll be a must like a massive pushback on people being forced to be like vaccinated, because like
I hope so.
Sorry, because I mean, it's like one thing saying, oh well, we have to wear a mask for like half hour, yeah, but it's another thing when they're saying I'm going to inject something into your body and you've got to do it, because it's slightly different. I know it's the body and one's putting something over the face, but someone that's actually injecting something, I do honestly feel there'll like be a massive pushback if people are made to have something.
I'm hoping that will be the case, but I think there'll be lots of camps. I think there'll be the people, like my boss sat in a shop, like petrified, wearing her mask. She said, but Charisse, I would get the vaccine now. And I've spoken to her about vaccinations, and she knows I've been on the radio and done various talk shows and stuff. She knows this, but they've been scared, witless. So there'll be those camps of people that rush out and get it. There'll be the people that will do it through minor coercion, and then there'll be people like me that, right, you're going to have to take me over my dead body to get that vaccine into me. So there'll be those camps of people. But how they're going to do it, and, you know, vaccinating the whole world at once, there's going to be a lot of stuff going down, you know, how they're going to do it, and how, you know.
Yeah, it's like going to be a hard push. I know they're doing something in America with chips. Not America, is it Africa? They're doing, what's it called? They're doing some sort of test for chips and, like, buying stuff. I'm not sure of the name, but if you research, it's called, like, One Chip or something like that.
Doesn't surprise me.
But, it's going to be interesting the way things pan out, because I'm not sure where it's going. I just think everyone's going to be too used to wearing a mask, and that will become the new norm.
I mean, I spoke to someone in the supermarket, and they said, well, I wear the mask, but I'm not getting the vaccine. And I thought, well, hopefully that's going to be a good percentage of people. There are already, I mean, I've seen lots of polls of people say, do you want this vaccine? And the massive amounts of people don't, higher percentages, way above 50% don't. So they've got their work cut out for them. So are they going to go hard? Possibly. I just don't know what they're capable of. And, you know, we've already seen what they're capable of, locking down the whole countries, tanking the economy and heartlessly killing off people. Yeah. I mean, they want us to have this vaccine desperately. And this is all it's about, this whole thing.
Do you think they'll lock down the country again? Or, like, do you think they won't risk it doing it again, like a proper full lockdown?
I mean, New Zealand's gone into lockdown, hasn't it?
For
a small amount of cases. I think that, and I posted on Facebook this week, don't bother buying school uniform. I really posted that. I think that they're going to not let the kids back to school. I've got a feeling. I don't know. Like I say, it's hard to predict things, but just don't underestimate them, because we're dealing with very evil people here. And they have an agenda, and yeah, be prepared, basically. I mean, you know, and we've seen the local lockdowns, haven't we? So they're kind of encroaching. Is Leicester still on lockdown? I mean,
I think it's been reviewed. I'm like actually not sure. I mean, I'm part of the country where we're like, I don't think we've got anything now. I think there was one in the hospital, and like that was it. And like the person who was in the hospital didn't even go in with symptoms. He went in for like something completely different, but yet they did an average test, to see, because it like was part of their process, and it turned out that he had COVID-19, but that's the only one that came in, and he wasn't even tested for it for that reason.
I mean, how desperate do you have to be to actually test something to find it? I mean, this disease is so deadly that we're just testing healthy people and testing people who don't even have the symptoms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you personally think is like going to be the end goal? And so just say they wanted to like vaccinate the whole of the country. Where would they go from there? Because obviously we wouldn't be wearing our masks if like we all get vaccinated, where would they go from there?
Like I said, in that Yale study they want to do, you will, if you get vaccinated, you will gain your economic freedom, you'll gain your other freedoms back, you will, you know, we're in a hostage situation right now, and that's where we are, I think. But yes, and I think people need to start actually worth, you know, even if you don't think, yeah, I can't go on a protest, start fighting back and researching about how you do build your own health, start getting fit, start getting healthy, because we've got the winter coming, you know, and they're going to, and we've seen a massive push on that flu jab.
That's definitely, yeah.
So the flu jab is going to be the next thing. So when people get their flu jab and then they start getting sick, oh, we've got the second wave. So then we could possibly go into lockdown. And I think we've got, I don't know why, but I keep thinking of, I kept thinking of dark winter. I was like, why am I thinking dark winter? And I thought, and I was Googling it, and I was like, oh, okay. Very Game of Thrones. Then I typed in Operation Dark Winter, and it's just, yeah, they've done an exercise on it before, but they've actually, where they've actually released a biohazard trait, you know, and but yeah, so be prepared for winter, get fit and healthy, educate yourself about your immune system, you know, vitamin C, and just be prepared really for eventualities. And you know, I want people, even people who are really, I want people to start thinking about actually how is this country run? You know, how is our health system run? You know, let's look at that, because I know that we have a cure for this illness, or most illnesses, and they shut it down before lockdown. And it's a product called MMS. And I get into so much trouble for talking about it because people call it a bleach and it's not a bleach. And basically what it does is it goes to any pathogen, virus or bacteria in your body, and it rips a hole in it by electric charge, and it oxygenates your body. So it totally wipes out any virus in your body. Now, the lady selling it up north, she had her website shut down and she was told she couldn't sell it. She had a PayPal account removed. Because they don't want cures out there. I mean, a £20 bottle of, you know, a cure for 97% of all disease. You know, and we know that it's not, we know that they're not about our health. You know, we've got a lady called Lynn Thayer in a French jail for curing cancer. A British scientist went on the run last year and we extradited her to France, and she's been in a jail since last August.
Wow.
So our British government are very corrupt when it comes to our health.
Well, yeah.
Anything to prevent us having it, because chemo makes £40,000 a pop. You know, cancer is a big business. So people need to start realizing that our health is big bucks, and we are walking meat money machines right now, and we always have been. So you need to take back control of your body, of your health. Do your own research. Don't just run to the doctor for every ailment. Yes, obviously, look at the doctors. But please note that when you are prescribed something, the doctor doesn't tell you the side effects of it. You go across to the chemist and pick up that drug. And the chemist doesn't tell you what the side effects are. So you go through two professionals who don't tell you any of the side effects. They let you pick up and pay for that product. And it's down to you when you get it home to read it. You've paid for it. Now, it's your choice. That's on your shoulders. Do you take that? Now, they have a massive list of side effects. I don't like that term side effect, because it means it puts it to the side. They are effects. And they happen to people. And most of those drugs that you will go and pick up involve death, etc. So realize that your doctor and pharmacist are just pharma sales reps. That's not their fault. That's just the way the system is, you know. But we have to start taking back the ownership of our health, because look where we are, you know.
Yeah, true. Something has got to be done. I think I think people need to do more of their own research and to do a bit more critical thinking. So we're nearly at the time, because, like, as I say, it's just been so busy for me this week. Sorry?
Yeah, I totally get where you're coming from there.
if people want to do some more research of their own and they don't want to go to the mainstream media or one-sided media, but want a sort of a good argument to see both sides, is there any sites that you can recommend for them to go to?
That's a good question, actually. I mean, I wouldn't use Google as a search engine for starters. And there are lots of natural health practitioners out there. And they're usually not pharmaceutical orientated. If you see the word quack debunked, that person's, you know that you've got to understand that the pharmaceutical company has a lot of money to put out there to debunk and attack natural products, the natural healers, the doctors who are speaking up. They spend millions and millions of their budget writing things on the internet to go against the truth. So you have to kind of know where to look and find it. And look at the natural healers. Look for the natural people, the people who are putting out natural health information.
You said about not using Google. Is there any other search engines you can recommend for people?
Yeah, DuckDuckGo I use.
DuckDuckGo.
DuckDuckGo, yeah. But also, I mean, you can find me on Twitter. You can message me if you've got any questions on anything. And if I don't know the answer, then I know people who do. But you will learn a lot more from other mothers who are recovering their children from vaccine injury and autism and things like that than you can learn from, mainstream, the NHS website. I mean, terrible. Don't go to government websites for any information. I mean, you can find basic information like vaccine ingredients, but general health, no. There are lots of general health, natural health practitioners out there. And if you look for natural ways of healing, and go down that route, then usually those websites are pretty good.
So if people wanted to contact you on Twitter, what's your Twitter handle?
It's at Sharby Revolution.
So
ARB Revolution.
Excellent. Well, I've
to answer any questions or I talk to lots of people and always happy to put people in the right direction, really. And I have helped a lot of people, even healing from things which they wouldn't usually heal from, and I've had messages like, I saw how to cure herpes. It's like, oh yeah, I've helped people do that and varying other things, and because there's ways and means of curing things and healing and just taking back power of your own health in your own body, because you have, and losing the fear. So lose that fear too. So you're not running around putting hand sanitizers on gloves and chasing people around the shop, squirting chemicals at them,
And poking them.
Poking them.
Because I've come off Twitter now. I was on Twitter, but now I've actually come off Twitter again. So I'm only on Instagram. Sorry?
I'm not on Instagram, I suppose. I should be on there. But I just delay myself because I think, it's another social media.
It is quite good, and I want to give a massive thanks out to Stand Up X as well, who came on the podcast. I did put the video on YouTube because Skype.
The marches are very good, and I've met so many people. But I'm also talking to someone who I met at the last Stand Up X march, and we're doing a project because we used to have an anti-vaccination league in this country with hundreds of thousands of people out marching against the forced vaccinations, and they're imprisoning people and fining them massively. We're sort of talking about that and trying to link it in with maybe other protests and educating people, look, this has happened before, history's repeating itself here, guys, all very interesting stuff, and hopefully the kickback against the vaccine will be massive, and
I'm sure it will. Well, I was just saying that YouTube took the video of the podcast off that I did with Stand Up X, but it is still on all podcast, on all the audio platforms. But someone flagged that video up, and it goes against the regulation. So, unfortunately,
number five
Sorry?
Did you talk about the number 5?
Yeah. Well, like that was mentioned, but like it was still up there for about 2 weeks, but someone obviously saw their ass, flagged it, and then it's gone against their standards. Yeah, I like
YouTube channel.
Yeah, I
like, is massive, isn't it?
Yeah, I like was going to re-upload it, but I thought I can't risk my YouTube channel because I just want to do different things with my YouTube channel and keep the podcast so like there'll be different content. But massive thanks for coming on again. You're more than welcome to come on. And that goes for anyone else. So if everyone can like, share, like, share and follow, and like we'll sort it out from there.
Nice to talk to you again, Rick. Take care.
All right, you take care. See you later.
All right then. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. The Tin Biscuits Podcast.